Welcome to Groundwire, community radio news, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations.
This episode of Groundwire was produced on the Mississaugas of the New Credit Territory by Carly Forbes in Toronto.
And by Ophira Horwitz on Algonquin Territory in Ottawa.
Police can no longer just shoot people in the streets and just because they have a badge be justified by it.
The uranium mining would be devastating to the land and to the water. The radioactivity would be there for thousands of years.
Especially in like a city like Toronto, where most people don't know that the FM band is full up. It's not just available. Like it's this public space that is completely culled right now.
In this edition, Cree people walk to Montreal and attend hearings on the uranium industry. Torontonians rally in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, and a discussion about alternative transportation in Halifax.
But first, here are the headlines. December 17th marked the International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. From coast to coast, sex workers and their allies gathered in protest of Bill C-36, and also to honor the lives of people working in the sex trade who have been lost. In Toronto, at Queen's Park, sex workers and allies called on Premier Wynne to abstain from enforcing Bill C-36, which went into effect on December 6th. Premier Wynne has tasked Ontario's Attorney General to determine the constitutionality of the laws, but she also stated that Ontario will be following the laws as they are written. In St. John's, Newfoundland, a red umbrella protest was organized in support of the rights of sex workers. In November, the Safe Harbor Outreach Project Coordinator, Laura Winters, wrote an open letter to Premier Davis to refer the new laws to the Court of Appeals to determine their constitutionality before enforcing the laws. In her letter, Laura Winters stated, quote, "Sadly, this legislative response runs counter to the spirit and letter of the Supreme Court of Canada's decision and will replicate the harms of the previous laws, which were found to be unconstitutional."
Our next headline was written by Nikki Young for the Toronto Media Co-op. On Sunday, December 14th, an autonomous coalition of students, families, and environmental organizations brought a special delivery to the residents of Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne. They delivered letters written on large cardboard cutouts in the shape of sandals, which expressed their outrage that Premier Wynne has backed down from her previous position that carbon emission and climate change must be considered when approving the Energy East tar sands pipeline. The flip-flop letters called on Wynne to reinstate a climate impact assessment on the proposed pipeline, which, if approved, would allow the tar sands to drastically increase production and lead to a large increase in carbon emissions. The group met at North Toronto Collegiate, and Indigenous drummers led them to the Premier's house.
Climate review for the Energy East pipeline! That's what we're asking for! No more flip-flops from Kathleen Wynne!
So long as there are leaves on the trees, so long as the medicines are growing, so long as our people are here, and they're here in front of your house, we're not going anywhere. You flip-flop, and you flip-flop. People in Grassy Narrows, they know what you're all about. We know what you're all about. So we're here to sing the treaty song for you to remind you of your obligations to First Nations people.
That's it for the headlines. We'll be right back after this.
Yeah.
You just heard singing From a Round Dance to welcome Cree marchers to Montreal 2 weeks ago. The walkers traveled 850 kilometers on foot for almost 5 weeks. From Mistissini to Montreal, they attended the last day of the hearings of BAP on the uranium industry in Quebec. BAP, or Le Bureau d'Audience Publique sur l'Environnement, is a commission of the Government of Quebec to consult the general public on the question of uranium industry issues in Quebec. Aaron Lakoff from CKUT in Montreal brings us this feature story.
My name is Justice DeBossigue.
Okay, and you're from Mistassini?
Yes, I am.
And what do you do up there?
I'm mainly just a resident there, but I'm a youth. I just living there, basically, pretty much.
And this march was your idea?
Pretty much the opposition was my idea. I started out back in high school, and now that I am in college, I can't believe it's just really big now. Yeah.
Well, tell me how you got involved in this, like how you came to kind of help initiate this movement.
Well, at first, when I was still back in high school, I started out with a big petition asking students to sign that they don't want the project. That was when former youth chief Sean Isaroff came to the school and just said, "Let's do it." And we started that down that road, and that's well, we're here right now.
My name is Joshua Isaroff, and I'm the leader and youth grand chief for the Cree Nation Youth Council under the Cree Nation government. I'm just really, really just I'm so excited to be here. It's an epic moment for the Crees again, for trekking about 850 kilometers to get here and to give a hand-delivered message to the BAP hearings tonight, which I'll be presenting. It's an achievement that we've all achieved very well, and I'm so great. A little bit tired, but you know what? I think I could walk to New York now if I want to. 40 kilometers is nothing now.
And what's the message you'll be bringing to the BAP tonight?
Basically is that the message is really simple, that we do not want uranium within our EUSG with Northern Quebec, and we don't want our waters to be contaminated in our land, and that's the simple message. No uranium for EUSG. Québec sans uranium.
Sean Isaroff. I'm from the Cree Nation of Mississippi.
And so if they are going to be doing uranium mining up around Mistassini and in Cree territory, what could that look like? What might be the impacts on the community?
Well, we have the largest freshwater lake in Quebec, and we've been living there for thousands of years, and it's something we still do is hunt, trap, and fish. We have our elders and our youth that, you know, continue to do that as well, and we want that for our future generations. So, you know, in terms of what it can cause, in terms of the environmental impacts, possible contamination, working its way up into the food chain, food supply for us Cree peoples, because we still harvest off the land. You know, that's one very big concern we have for us, and it's something we don't want to take. It's not a risk we want to take.
I'm Amy Linton, the youth chief of Mistassini.
Were you doing this march down from Mistassini?
Yes, we did it from Mistassini, 850 kilometers. The group, it was a team effort, so everyone did their part in getting here.
And how do you feel to be here in Montreal today?
It's great. We've succeeded in getting to our destination. It's exhilarating after a long haul.
Yeah. Are you here with your kids today?
Yeah, this is my son, Cleon.
And how old is he?
He's 7.
Okay. And, I mean, being here, you know, as a mother and as a marcher, I mean, is this something that, do you see you're doing it for your kids as well? Or?
Yes, for sure. I'm doing it for my kids to be able to have a clean environment to live in. The uranium, if it was to go through, the uranium mining would be devastating to the land and to the water. The radioactivity would be there for thousands of years, so it's something that we don't want in anywhere in Quebec. It's important for all of Quebecers to be uranium free.
Up next, Omez Salma Rahimtula from CHRY attended a Black Lives Matter rally held in Toronto in solidarity with Ferguson and in protest against the non-indictment of Darren Wilson, the police officer who murdered Mike Brown.
I want to go back to no justice, no peace. Come on now. No justice, no peace. 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 No justice, no peace! No justice, no peace!
On Tuesday night, at least 2,000 Torontonians gathered across the street from the U.S. Consulate on University Avenue to stand in solidarity with the people of Ferguson, Missouri. On Monday night, the St. Louis County Grand Jury decided not to indict Darren Wilson in the shooting death of unarmed black teenager Mike Brown. The outrage at the racism within the justice system and in society prompted black activists in Toronto to organize Tuesday's rally, called Black Lives Matter. Far from an isolated incident, the murder of Mike Brown by police officers and the deaths of black youth that go unprosecuted is all too common, as with the murders of Sean Bell and Trayvon Martin in the U.S. Here in Toronto, the situation is very much the same. On September 24th of this year, Jermaine Carby was killed by Peel Regional Police, a police force with a long and documented history of violence against the black community. Rather than providing answers and support to Jermaine's family, the Special Investigation Unit of the Peel Police is engaging in suspicious and hostile behavior, indicating a cover-up. The almost ubiquity of the murders of black youth and the impunity with which it is allowed to happen are the links that organizers of the Black Lives Matter rally wanted to bring attention to. Yolan Bolo Kamara was one of the organizers of Monday's action.
So we all got together actually just about a week and a half ago. We thought it was really important to show solidarity with folks protesting in Ferguson, but also draw the connections here in Canada as well. We know that police brutality, anti-black racism, state violence are very much realities here as well. We saw the case of Jermaine Carby, who was killed by the police at a routine traffic stop, and we're still waiting for answers in his case. And we see carding in Toronto, in which black and Aboriginal youth are up to 5 times more likely to be stopped by the police. And we know that in our prison system as well, black and Aboriginal youth are way overrepresented. So we really wanted to draw the parallels here as well.
While there were Ferguson support rallies taking place all over the world, it also gave organizers and participants the chance to engage with initiatives in their own cities that are calling for justice and the valuing of black lives. The Justice for Jermaine Carby campaign was set up to investigate Carby's death and bring all those responsible to justice. They are asking for the release of the name of the officer who shot Jermaine and other information about the incident that led to his death. Jermaine's cousin, LaTanya Grant, spoke at the Black Lives Matter rally on Monday.
Thank you. September 24th, he was murdered, shot 4 to 5 times for no reason. The SAU still hasn't given us any answers. My family's very upset. I mean, we lost a brother, we lost a cousin, we lost a grandson, we lost an uncle, a nephew. We lost one of ours. And as much as we're here for the Ferguson situation, let's try to support my campaign for Jermaine Carby to try to at least get justice here in Toronto. Police can no longer just shoot people in the streets and just because they have a badge be justified by it.
The rally ended with organizers reading a list of demands they have for the city and the state officials, which included a statement from the city of Toronto, which supports the protesters in Ferguson. And finally, justice for all victims, primarily black victims, of police brutality and violence in the city of Toronto, in Ontario, and in Canada. The Black Lives Matter protest was thus a rallying point for the many issues that are faced by racialized black and Aboriginal youth in this city and across North America, and a strong affirmation that the lives of black people matter and that the state violence yielded against them needs to be addressed and eliminated. This is Omez Salma Rahimtula from CHRY in Toronto reporting for Groundwire.
Black Lives Matter! 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 Black Lives Matter!
CKDU produced this special feature about alternative transportation in Halifax.
Round, round, get around, I get around,
yeah,
get around, round, round, I get around,
I get around.
There's more than one way to get from point A to point B in Halifax. We sent reporter Hayden Waters out to take a spin on some of Halifax's alternative transit options. He joins me in the studio to chat about them. Hi, Hayden.
Hi, Sean. I must say I've become pretty frustrated with how to get around in this city. There's the bus, but it's never on time. I could call a taxi, but I think they're too expensive. I've got my bike, but winter is coming and they don't sell snow tires for bikes. This week, I set out to track down and take alternative forms of transit around the city. My great alternative transit goose chase started with a YouTube video.
Hey there, welcome to Cabbioke.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Come on, sing it out, sing it loud and proud.
Everybody wants a new romance.
So why they're singing, Hayden?
Well, they're in the back of Cabbioke. It's a decked-out minivan with a disco ball, flashing lights, and a karaoke machine. It's run by the NSLC to discourage folks from drinking and driving. Of course, I too wanted to sing Loverboy in the back of a minivan, so I called up the NSLC to book my ride.
Retail Service Center, Robin speaking.
Hi, I was wondering if I could get the Cabbioke to pick me up from the quad at the University of King's College.
Today?
Yeah, this afternoon.
Oh, this afternoon? Okay. Any specific time?
Could you get me around 4 o'clock?
4 p.m.
The NSLC called me back a few minutes later. Turns out Cabbioke is only a promotion. I guess someone forgot to tell the front desk. I was put through to Mike Maloney, one of the creative minds behind Cabbioke. There's been plenty of confusion about the ride.
You know, people have emailed me personally wanting to see if they can rent it out for parties, or, you know, how can I get that in my neighborhood? So we're not really trying to replace a cab service, or we're not trying to get into the party business. We're the responsibility business, so we're going to stick with that.
Cabbioke was a no-go, so I thought about Uber. I've been hearing a lot about the ride-sharing program in the news lately. It's where people with cars can sign up to be an Uber driver. People looking for rides can connect with the Uber drivers through an app on their phone. It's cheaper than a taxi. Uber's been popular in cities like Toronto and New York. Service started in Halifax a few months ago, but its fleet is not very big yet.
So did you get a ride?
Well, I signed up for the app 2 days ago and have been trying to hitch a ride ever since. No luck yet, but I'll keep you in the loop.
What did you try next?
Well, my roommate told me he once caught a ride with the Domino's pizza delivery man. So I talked to Amos Marai, who works at Domino's. He says their drivers pick up people a few times a night.
I think a lot of it has to do, there was a beer commercial like 3 or 4 years back where people were like going into pizza shops and paying the drivers to get them to drive back. And I think that still plagues us to this day.
Amos gave me some tips for hailing down a Domino's delivery van. Wait out front of the pizza shop and politely ask the driver for a ride.
If someone called the shop asking for a drive, I'd probably just laugh at them. I don't know, especially like as you get later into the night, we're all pretty stressed out, and I don't have any time for anything other than pizza.
Taking Amos's advice, I stood out front of Domino's, patiently waiting for my delivery van. After about 25 minutes or so, one finally pulled up. It was my time to shine. Hey there, I was wondering if I could grab a ride from you. To University of King's College.
What the f*** is that, man?
This, just a recorder.
No, get that away from me.
Get away?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm sorry. He slammed the door and sped away, leaving me stranded yet again.
So how did you get where you needed to go?
Well, I sat on the curb, sulking for a while. Head in my hands, a pair of fluorescent yellow running shoes caught my eye.
My name is Chris Wallace. I've been a runner for 2 years now. And, yeah, basically what a rickshaw is... You've probably seen it on TV or TV shows or something. It's a two-wheeled buggy, pretty much, with the handlebars coming out that you hold onto, and people climb in the back. It's kind of like a chariot, except it's powered by a human instead of a horse.
Chris had run into my life at just the right time. After all my transportation troubles, turns out the rickshaw is the most reliable way to get around town.
It's a social thing too, right? Like, taxis are a little less social, and buses obviously not really. You can have a great conversation, you know, get to know the person, ask them, you know, just get to know them and have a great time. You know, I've never missed an appointment, don't think I've ever left a client disappointed. I hope to keep it that way.
Good to know. I'll keep it in mind for getting to school tomorrow.
Thanks, Shang. Oops, gotta go. There's my rickshaw.
You just heard drumming from the round dance welcome for the Cree Walkers against Uranium in Montreal.
Ryerson's campus and community radio station, The Scope, have successfully obtained their license to broadcast at 1280 AM at 99 watts. I visited the station in Toronto, and I met Alyssa Pearl Matthews, the program director, and Armand Agbali, the host of Built to Play and the volunteer board representative.
We've always had an online presence. That's still been going. It's how I produce my show. We've actually had a good run of recent shows on the station. Let's see, Spazzy Nights came in. We've been working on a new show that's been really cool. That's Emily. She's our volunteer coordinator. She's been doing a lot of the push on that. I don't know. Like, it's been... I found this to be an incredibly exciting time. I've always loved radio, and I've loved being a part of this station. It's felt like this really helped me learn the tricks of editing and processing and working with guests and dealing with the responsibilities of putting the show together as often as I can, although it's not quite each week as much as I'd like it to be. Yeah, I don't know. Like, this has been such a valuable experience to me, and I'm so glad that it's going to be more available to... I won't have to put the caveat in email saying, oh, we're just online.
Yeah, I think that'll be really nice, actually, is just for our programmers being able to, I guess, have more authenticity, which seems to be a big thing, even though internet radio is completely valid and lots of people make it, and it's a really easy way to do things. And there's even like a new internet radio station in Toronto that's just going to be doing online, and it's a real, like, that's a great project, but there's kind of like a lack of authenticity when you're not on the airwaves. And I think there's also a lack of understanding for some people in terms of how easy or hard it is to get a license and to do radio on the dial, especially in like a city like Toronto, where most people don't know that the FM band is full up. It's not just available. Like, it's this public space that is completely culled right now. So it's going to be exciting for that. I think it'll open up a lot of opportunities to kind of work with other people and to have more people also hear the work that's being done, because we already have some great volunteers that are already creating great programming, and it would be nice to get that out a little more.
Yeah, I always find it funny because most people listen to the radio, or a lot of people listen to the radio on their phones anyway. So if you have any data, it's right there. It's always streaming. Hopefully now that those volunteers will then have like an opportunity to have their stuff broadcasted somewhere where their families can hear. Although I don't think our antenna is going to get past Etobicoke. Once it's up, it's what are the boundaries like? Etobicoke, Scarborough,
yeah,
and New York.
It's pretty. It's a pretty short or pretty small boundary. So going north, it'll probably hit St. Clair actually, and then west will probably get into Parkdale, but kind of end around Parkdale, and east will hit. I don't know if we'll hit the beaches, but we'll kind of. Maybe Leslieville kind of area in terms of neighborhoods, which is easier. And we'll go all the way to the water and possibly to the island. I don't know if it might make it across the lake.
I have two friends who own boats, so that's probably pretty good news for them while they're out yachting, as Torontonians are out to do the rest of the world. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's been good things, and I'm hoping that more good things come.
That's it for this edition of Groundwire. This edition was co-hosted and co-produced by Carly Forbes and Ophira Horowitz. We also thank Deanna Lauren and Frida Worden.
Music this week was recorded by Aaron Lakoff. Headlines this week were written by Carly Forbes and Nikki Young. Features were by Ome Salma Ramatula, Aaron Lakoff, and CKDU.
Next edition, we hear some of the most impactful stories from 2014. Tune in again on January 5th to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station, or download the show at groundwire.ncra.ca. Groundwire is a project of the National Campus and Community Radio Association.